This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Now, we have in the studio our next guest, who is Patrick Burns, who is here to talk about the Chamber Music Festival at 45 Downstairs. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Now, before we talk about the festival, just a little bit of background on you, Patrick. How did you get started and, you know, what have you been doing up till now?
Most known as a conductor, mainly of opera and ballet, was where my background comes in. So I moved to Melbourne in 2010, actually, after spending some time overseas studying and developing further as a musician.
So let's go back. Okay. You know, like, what instrument did you pick up as a young lad, I should imagine?
I started life as a church choir boy in the very traditional sense up in Brisbane, and that was my first musical training, and eventually became a French horn player. So that was my second one. When the musical instruments were getting handed out, everyone picked up trumpet or saxophone, all the cool things, and my parents thought, you better not miss out on something, so how about you try the French horn? And so that had its own cool adventures.
Yeah, well, a beautiful instrument as well.
It can be, occasionally, yeah, when played well.
I'm sure you can do it.
Look, it's one of those things, it takes a little while to get on top of. It's not something that's straight out of the box and it's easy listening, so to speak.
Now, where did you train?
In Queensland. So I first started with a bachelor's on the French horn at the Queensland Conservatorium and then transitioned across to conducting. And so I had a number of programs. This what was at the time the Symphony Services Australia, their conductor training program. I spent some time in Berlin and overseas and then came back to Melbourne to do my master's.
Okay. Why conducting? Or are you just one of those people who like to control?
There it is. I think I was very talented as a French horn player, but there was always something I was more interested in. It happened by chance that we had a very good professor of music up in Queensland, and he was running late to conduct a rehearsal. And I jumped in because we were desperately needed the rehearsal. And at the end of that, he looked me straight in the eye and said, "Have you ever thought about doing something else other than the French horn?" And I thought it was that chat and that time that was my exit ticket. And he said, "No, really, have a think about doing conducting.
Wow.
I think you might have something in it." And the love of it grew from there.
Yeah, and Patrick, it's a big job, you know, like standing in front of an orchestra, you know, like sometimes, you know, like dozens of people.
Yeah.
You know, like what's that like? What's that sensation like? Because for an audience sitting in an auditorium, it's overpowering. But what's it like for you in control of the orchestra?
If you'd ask me at different stages of life, I'd give you different answers. Early on is daunting, especially when you're younger and especially when you look down and probably the collective, the time that people have spent music making in front of you is far longer than you've been alive, and then you're suddenly in a position to offer them corrections or suggestions of how else to do it.
Yeah.
So at an early stage, it's daunting, but I guess coming at it, there's always been a responsibility to try and get the very best result. And I think if you're going into it as a job where it's something that it's all about you, then you're in the wrong profession.
Yeah, of course. On that.
So there's got to be a higher purpose and a focus to, I think, any of the really professional working musicians, they just want to get the job done. Yeah.
Now, what about the understanding of all the different instruments? You know, I'd find that fascinating as well, you know, because there are different sounds coming from all different directions and controlling all of that at particular times. That must be fascinating.
Yeah, it's a constant struggle and a constant learning experience. And there's the sheer number of parameters, not just the instruments themselves, the players, the psychology of working with people and how to get different results. I can tell you now from my experiences, I spend a lot of time in Eastern Europe working, and the way you have, you know, relationships with workers and people playing with you is very different from Australia. There's different use of language. Mm. There's a different hierarchy and structure. So
it's a lot more casual here or not?
It's professional, but in a sense that there's less of the tyrant that won't get accepted in any way, shape or form. Yeah. So the people who watch the movie Whiplash and think it's all like that, it, in no ways does that get accepted anymore working in Australia or in England. People often talk about when you work in England, you've got to remember the compliment sandwich all the time to offer to people when you want to offer corrections. Oh, so say something nice, say what you really mean, say something nice again, and hopefully the message gets across. Whereas places like Eastern Europe, it's very direct and straight to the point of what you'd like to achieve. Yeah. And that, and so that's a fascinating part of it. And then the instruments themselves, you've just got to be humble and keep learning.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
But what about opera? You mentioned opera as well. Yep. Tell us, you know, how did you end up going down that track?
Opera was... I think starting, there was always a history of vocal music growing up. I think even going back to being in the kind of Anglican church system.
Of course, you were a choir boy.
Yeah. When I got into playing French horn, it was a very different track of music making. There was a lot of focus on orchestral music, and the opera bug bit me probably in my early 20s when I kind of had a very good friend and colleague at the time who suggested you should really listen to some of this music to broaden your own kind of understanding. And from there, it's an addiction. It's something that when you get it and you hear the power of the human voice up close that first time, and you kind of think this is something that I want to be involved in, and this, and so that sort of leads you, once that the kind of the opera bug has bitten, then there's no escaping it.
And who have you worked with here in Melbourne?
So from a very kind of junior level, so lots of the youth orchestras right around Melbourne, and then right up, I was positioned with the Australian Ballet for a number of times as one of their trainee conductors, also with most of the opera companies in Melbourne, not Victorian Opera, but most of the other kind of pro-am companies or the smaller companies from Melbourne Opera. I think they gave me my very first start in conducting full opera. I conducted Carmen for them in probably 2012 or so.
Wow. And is there a favourite opera?
Oh, yes. It's the one that I'm doing right now.
Good answer.
No, I've got... there's some bucket operas that, or bucket list operas that I'd love to do. I've got a very soft spot for the music of Korngold. There's an opera that very few people have ever heard of. It's called Die Vögel by a composer named Walter Braunfels, who was alive during the Second World War, but whilst he was considered a Jewish sympathizer during it, so all of his music got banned.
Oh.
But he survived the war, and he was one of the people in the south of Germany that helped rebuild kind of the music institutions and what have you. But it's some of that very late romantic German music that a lot of it doesn't get played anymore, unfortunately.
And did they make your bucket list because of a significance of it, or you just enjoy the music so much?
It's just it's superb music. Yeah. It's the most beautiful music.
And, you know, like, Patrick, the fact is, finding it, discovering, like those little known operas would be fascinating in itself.
Yeah, that is something that I truly enjoy sharing. Opera often gets the unfair tag that it is the sort of the dead white male composers section of the music. Because
although that's changing a lot, isn't it?
It is a lot. And this is something, I mean...
You mentioned lyric opera, which is a little bit, it's on the edge, isn't it?
Well, I hate to think that it's on the edge because the programming that I do for lyric opera is... It's basically been all Australian composers, all living Australian composers and modern works, but they're works that should be heard. They should be given another chance.
I meant on the edge, not the white dead male person.
Exactly. But it's a shame that it's considered that is sort of on the edge programming when 100 years ago, and I must say this is something even in Eastern Europe when I worked there, that artists would absolutely clamour to perform a new work, to have that honour to be involved in a work that's just been created and new in the world. And people would hold that as a great honour to have that as a tribute. And I think now that's something that's been lost a little bit. But when you introduce people to these new works, to see people's eyes light up, especially Melbourne audiences, and kind of go, oh, wow, that, that's really fabulous. I had no idea. Mm. Or, you know, for the same reason that, you know, Melbourne audiences will line up down the street for a new restaurant that's got, you know, new tacos or something like that and won't take a reservation, but a new piece of art or a new opera, yeah. that it's, I think that joy can still be found.
Now, hold on a minute. Here you are, conductor, you know, like going in, we're talking about opera. You're here today to talk about Chamber Music Festival. Oh, exactly. What the hell's going on here?
I'm a musician. I've got to be everywhere to make ends meet. I've got a mortgage too. So, no, I think when you start talking about chamber music, that especially if we go back in history in the 19th century and we start talking about things like art song, for a lot of composers, the chamber music and the art song and the smaller music, this is where they tested out all of their great ideas. And in a lot of ways, this is the nucleus of some of their great compositions can be found when you explore this chamber music. And some people describe chamber music as music at its purest form, in the sense that you can honestly see the two or three people involved, and it's like you as an audience member getting let into a private conversation. And maybe it's a touch voyeuristic, and I don't know, we're all into reality shows these days, but getting that sense of seeing something very pure, there's no extra artifice, there's nothing added, it's just straight original ingredients on the stage in front of you. Nowhere for the artist to hide either, and it's at that point that you really do get to connect with some very pure, very raw emotions. But it's fascinating.
And 45 Downstairs, interesting. It's usually theatre, although 45 Downstairs dabbles in so much of that beautiful open space that they do there. So what are you part of? What chamber group are you part of?
So across the whole festival, so the festival itself was put together by Cody Green, who's an eminent pianist and kind of curator of concerts right across Melbourne, and this is the second year
that
this has been running. And so we were invited as Lyric Opera to perform a concert, our opening concert for the year, and that was in the last 2 years I've presented concerts of kind of a little-known Australian art song on this. And the first year was music by Peggy Glanville Hicks, who's probably considered one of Australia's absolute leading, not just composers, female recognised composers. And she was a real trendsetter when she went across to New York and was a leading figure in modern music. And then the second year, we looked at a second program by composers Linda Kavaris and Kors, looking at works that are quite modern but are quite lengthy on this one. Once again, female Australian composers of note. And so this year, we're presenting a third program, once again, of Australian art song. And these are the program's entitled Unspoken Words, or that intersection between poetry and libretto and then the music itself. And this year explores three different works, and they're from three different facets of the opportunities where the music has taken over, where the words didn't get to complete the sentence. So one is a selection of six arias from Stuart Greenbaum's opera called Nelson, and explores the very tumultuous relationships of Horatio Nelson, but also that relationship between the loves that he had onshore and offshore, and that disconnect between communication at sea. And the next piece is a piece by Linda Kavaris called Winter Came Early. And this is actually based on the poetry of Catherine Lewis, who sadly passed away from cancer. And these were the kind of poetry and communication between her daughter and herself. And we've actually have her daughter, Georgina, playing piano for this piece. And it summed up some of the poetry through the later stages of her life and finishes with a note that she wrote on the day that she passed away to her husband.
Oh, wow.
And that was a words unspoken, never shared, but was put to music. And so this will be the first time that complete cycle with the epilogue is actually done in the one sitting.
And how many people are performing?
So we've got four singers and two pianists
at
our concert spread across that, because the other focus that Lyric Opera has is we try to provide opportunities for young developing artists, kind of at that stage where they've completed a lot of their initial training but are starting to get onto a professional career.
And is it three separate performances you're doing, or
just the one performance? One performance. This is on the 20th of March, Wednesday the 20th, as part of the festival. And it's a one night only, and come along and tickets are available through 45 downstairs, and we have a few drinks afterwards and a celebration to get people to talk.
So it's a fairly extensive season, 12th to the 24th.
Exactly right.
Which is fantastic. And go on to the 45 downstairs to check out the full program, and also Chamber Music Festival as well.
And some really great concerts. The opening night in particular, the fabulous English Australian actor Helen Morse is coming along to narrate in a new work by Linda Kavaris. There's the sublime actor Paul English, who's narrating a work that it's very rarely performed by Richard Strauss, called Enoch Arden, which is based on the Tennyson poem. You've got a new song cycle from again Linda Kavaris, but there's just so much packed into this festival, so come along, folks.
Come along, and thank you for coming in today. The insight to you has been fantastic. So and can we follow you on, are you a social media person?
Not particularly.
Come on, Patrick.
It's more than my mum says I should be on it, just so that she knows why I haven't phoned her this week. But I'm not big on social media, but you can follow us through Lyric Opera through our website and our social medias directly.
Right, okay.
Give you the best insight.
Yeah, lovely meeting you, and can't wait to see you at 45 Downstairs.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Patrick Burns about the Chamber Music Festival at 45 Downstairs here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.